The Land That Time Forgot by Edgar Rice Burroughs. Chapter 1. It must have been a little after 3 o'clock in the afternoon that it happened, the afternoon of June 3rd, 1916. It seems incredible that all that I have passed through, all those weird and terrifying experiences, should have been encompassed within so short a span as 3 brief months. Rather might I have experienced a cosmic cycle, with all its changes and evolutions, for that which I have seen with my own eyes in this brief interval of time, things that no other mortal eye had seen before. Glimpses of a world past, a world dead, a world so long dead that even in the lowest Cambrian stratum no trace of it remains. Fused with the melting inner crust, it has passed forever beyond the ken of man, other than in that lost pocket of the earth whither fate has borne me, and where my doom is sealed. I am here, and here must remain. After reading this far, my interest, which already had been stimulated by the finding of the manuscript, was approaching the boiling point. I had come to Greenland for the summer, on the advice of my physician, and was slowly being bored to extinction, as I had thoughtlessly neglected to bring sufficient reading matter. Being an indifferent fisherman, my enthusiasm for this form of sport soon waned. Yet in the absence of other forms of recreation, I was now risking my life in an entirely inadequate boat off Cape Farewell, at the southernmost extremity of Greenland. Greenland, as a descriptive appellation, it is a sorry joke, but my story has nothing to do with Greenland, nothing to do with me, so I shall get through with the one and the other as rapidly as possible. The inadequate boat finally arrived at a precarious landing, the natives waist-deep in the surf assisting. I was carried ashore, and while the evening meal was being prepared, I wandered to and fro along the rocky, shattered shore. Bits of surf-harried beach clove the worn granite, or whatever the rocks of Cape Farewell may be composed of, and as I followed the ebbing tide down one of these soft stretches, I saw the thing. Were one to bump into a Bengal tiger in the ravine behind the Bimini Baths, one could be no more surprised than was I to see a perfectly good quart thermos bottle turning and twisting in the surf of Cape Farewell at the southern extremity of Greenland. I rescued it, but I was soaked above the knees doing it, and then I sat down in the sand and opened it, and in the long twilight read the manuscript, neatly written and tightly folded, which was its contents. You have read the opening paragraph, and if you are an imaginative idiot like myself, you will want to read the rest of it. So I shall give it to you here, omitting quotation marks, which are difficult of remembrance. In 2 minutes you will forget me. My home is in Santa Monica. I am, or was, junior member of my father's firm. We are shipbuilders. Of recent years we have specialized on submarines, which we have built for Germany, England, France, and the United States. I know a sub as a mother knows her baby's face, and have commanded a score of them on their trial runs. Yet my inclinations were all toward aviation. I graduated under Curtis, and after a long siege with my father, obtained his permission to try for the Lafayette Escadrille. As a stepping stone, I obtained an appointment in the American Ambulance Service, and was on my way to France when 3 shrill whistles altered, in as many seconds, my entire scheme of life. I was sitting on deck with some of the fellows who were going into the American Ambulance Service with me, my Airedale, Crown Prince Nobler, asleep at my feet, when the first blast of the whistle shattered the peace and security of the ship. Ever since entering the U-boat zone, we had been on the lookout for periscopes, and children that we were, bemoaning the unkind fate that was to see us safely into France on the morrow, without a glimpse of the dread marauders. We were young, we craved thrills, and God knows we got them that day, yet by comparison with that through which I have since passed, they were as tame as a Punch and Judy show. I shall never forget the ashy faces of the passengers as they stampeded for their life belts.